Hi, thanks for joining us on Hometown to Hollywood. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide. And today my guest on this podcast is Boo Boo Stewart. Boo Boo has been a working actor since he was 10, and his credits include Twilight, Breaking Dawn and Eclipse, X-Men, Days of Future Past, White Frog, and Disney Descendants 1 and 2. He's currently voicing the role of Exile in Marvel Rising, Secret Warriors, and has 4 projects in post-production. Boo Boo, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're so prolific.
I don't know. When you read all those things, it's like, oh, wow. That's cool.
I did a lot. No, if we read all those things, we'd be here for like an hour. No. Because you look at your IMDb sheet, and it's just incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. Well, we had you on the podcast, gosh, a year and a half ago, something like that.
Was it a year and a half?
I think it was, because it was just before you went to go film Descendants 2.
Wow, really? Oh my goodness.
I know, it's shocking, but I think it's been a full year and a half, so it's really, really nice to have you back. And you know, because people can listen to that interview and that conversation, I wanna switch it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I wanna go to some places that we didn't get a chance to go to in the first interview and maybe go a little deeper on some of those places this time.
Please.
But one question I have, just like sort of a something I've been thinking about, like I know that your dad has been in the business and you grew up in the business, and that's part of how it was, like, just you were surrounded by it. It was a natural thing for you to consider stepping into. But if you hadn't been surrounded by the business, do you think you would have found your way into it eventually?
Ooh, I don't know. I probably, honestly, because I love art, and I love, like, creating things. And that's part of what we do, is create things. And I wouldn't be surprised if I eventually found myself in it. I don't know. I feel like it's such a part of me. I don't know what I'd do without it. So
you're a serious creative. You're I mean, a lot of actors, that's just kind of what they do, but you are.
No, I love creating things.
You're a creative on all fronts.
Yeah. I just started building things too. Because I live in a yurt now.
You did it last time we were talking. You're like, this is my dream to live in a yurt.
Yeah,
and
now
you're doing it.
I do it. Yeah. One of my things is like, not just talking about something, but actually following through and doing it. Because a lot of people just talk about things, like things they want to do. That's one thing I try and always, like, get my buddies going with. Like, if they have an idea, like, okay, let's do it. You know, like, let's actually do it.
Yeah, what's it going to take then?
Yeah.
What are the steps?
What's
break
the
it
next,
down.
Let's
action.
Do it. Yeah, so that's kind of the deal. So, I don't know, it's just creating things. I like having an idea and then actually creating it and having a physical, like, tangible version of whatever that initial idea was. Sometimes it doesn't turn out exactly how you planned it, but you did it, you know.
Sometimes it can turn out better than you planned it.
Yep. Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah, sometimes mistakes or, you know, our flaws make us unique.
Yes. Yes, I love that. That's especially important to remember in this day of social media.
Yes.
And editing and
yeah. Yeah, because sometimes when you're editing and you put, I've seen so many pictures where people go just ham on you know, the touch-ups and then you don't have any features.
Yeah, what happened to your face? Oh my gosh. No, it's really true. And it's important to remember with all the airbrushing and all the, like, carefully curated presentations that it's not only okay to be imperfect, but it's the imperfections that make us human and unique.
Yeah, I agree.
What was it like to be working at such a young age? Like you started really, really working at like 10 or so, maybe earlier?
I don't know. It was really just, I guess I didn't think twice about it. You know what I mean? Like, it was just what I did, you know, and I loved it. I had fun, you know. I would always be ready for the next thing, you know, like always ready for the next. I was, at that time when I was younger, I was really doing a lot of modeling for, like, Target and things like that, for, like, Hot Wheels. And I was always excited to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I was always like, oh, yes, I get to work with, you know, whoever is going to be there again, because I started knowing the photographers and things like that. And so it was, I loved it, honestly. It was probably even more just, like, carefree and fun than it is now.
Isn't that interesting? Well, because it's, like, straight play. Like,
I'm trying to get it going, you know, back to what that was, you know. Yeah, because now there's pressure and there's things like that. And but that ruins so much of what you do. Mm-hmm. Or it doesn't ruin it, but, you know, it just makes it harder.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a distraction.
Yeah, I'd like to take it back. Not all the way to that, but just a little bit more, but, you know. Yeah, but I liked it. You know, working at a young age, you know, I'm glad it's... You know, I feel like it's all just prepared me for what I'm doing now, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seriously. I mean, your work ethic is incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, I try. Sometimes it's, you know, with now this new Instagram, sometimes that gets the best of me. But I'll be like, what are you doing? Like, you're not actually doing anything right now. Like,
I know.
You don't care about this stuff.
It's so real. It's like posting is not actually doing. It's easy to get confused about that stuff.
Well, and it's just when you're on that explore page and you're just scrolling.
Oh, that's a rabbit hole. You have to really be careful to limit your time on that. Yeah, least I do.
Yeah, I'll just be sitting there. I'll catch myself. Be like, boo, what are you doing right now? Like, why? Like, is there something else you'd rather be doing? And it's usually the answer is yes. Sometimes it's no. And sometimes it's like, no, I literally just want to sit here and do this because this is what I want to do.
And that's okay, but too.
You have to know you're doing it. I feel like when so many people are just on their phones now at dinner or mid-conversation with somebody and they're just like, yeah, on their phone trying to talk to you. And it's interesting. I don't know. So I try to not do that.
Yeah, well, you know, you are obviously somebody who cares very much about staying present.
Yeah, trying.
It's not easy right now.
No, it's not. So it's, but you know, there's the difference between like being present and being too aware, because then it's weird.
That's nice. You
know? I feel like because then it's just too much, you know.
Yeah, you can drive yourself crazy going too
then
far
you,
that way, right?
Yeah, then you're never satisfied because you're like, I didn't really take that moment in because I wasn't fully aware. But then it's like, shouldn't you just be there? And if you're thinking about being there, then aren't you overly present? But there's like a fine line.
Overthinking can make anybody crazy.
Yeah, which is the worst. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of us fall into that camp if we're not careful. You know, you're not even quite 24 yet.
No,
birthday's
almost.
This week.
It is. I keep forgetting. Just not thinking about it.
It's okay. Birthdays are just birthdays. But you've already been part of three huge franchises, which is kind of extraordinary. I mean, most actors are like in their dreams. They're just like, they win the lottery if they're part of one. You've been part of three now so far, which is probably, there must be some sort of record around that, but you must be a contender. What kind of perspective has that given you in the industry and in life in general? Because, like, that's a really interesting and unusual set of experiences to have, right?
Yeah, that is really interesting. I don't know. I guess when I did Twilight, that was the first one, I was like, oh, this is it. You know, like, this is it. Like,
my life is made.
Yeah, this is it. Just from here on out, you know? Like, you kind of have that kind of... I was only, like, 15 years old when I auditioned. Like, 16, I think, when I started filming or got it. But, yeah, you just think, like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, you think, like, auditions will be easier and you think everything will just... And, yes, it does get easier. Like, I'm not saying, like, no. Like, no, it definitely does. And it gives you, you know, it's an incredible stepping stone. But that's what it is. It's not like, boom, there it is. It's like, no, you've done this. Now you're ready for the next one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just like preparation, I guess. It kind of is nice to sit back and look back on it and think about everything that happened because it was such a wild time and it's just so interesting and so many incredible memories and just odd moments being so young and being wrapped up in that and the things we did and the way the fans reacted. And I don't know if I'll ever see that again. Like, that truly was one of a kind. But I guess it's more just like you just learn from it. I don't know. Maybe I have like a little bit of a step up just because I was a part of that and I got to learn from something people don't usually learn from at that age.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been lucky enough to do it with X-Men and Descendants, too, so. But I think Twilight being, you know, what it currently still is, like, it's still, like...
It's iconic.
Like, the thing is, yesterday someone was like, hey, weren't you? So I still get recognized for being in those movies, and I have long hair and, like, different, like, I look older, but I guess still the same. But yeah, I guess maybe it's, I just take it as a learning curve, and, you know, I just learn from it and learn from all the experiences, and I don't take them for granted because they're incredible. And, you know, yeah, like you said, most people, they hope to have it once. I don't know. It is something very cool to be a part of, and I'm very happy and very fortunate to be a part of it.
Yeah, no, it's a really special thing. And yet, you know, to be this young so far and still, like, have had... I mean, you're in the middle of the Descendants franchise still.
Yeah, we're still going.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Then it's like, I would feel like you'd have an amazing sense of perspective. Like you know,
yeah.
you watch things arc, you watch them peak, you watch them fall.
Yeah,
and like, you're still the same person throughout the whole thing, right? Well, like, you're the through line. You're the sacred thread.
Yeah, even in Descendants... Like, not in the movies, but just in the world of Descendants. Like, we'll be at events and things will happen, and I feel like I've maybe more of a sense of calm, just because I know that, like, this is good. Like, it's, you know, this is fun. Like, it's fun. It's not dangerous. It's fun. Everyone's, you know, I don't know, like, you know, when fans are around you and things like that, people get all frazzled. But you just have to learn to, like, appreciate it, because... You know, when they're not doing that, then you're like, what's going on?
Wait a minute, where'd everybody go?
Do people still watch our movies? Like, no, I... Yeah, it is an interest... I feel like maybe out of the group, I do have a sense of... when it comes to things like that, I've gone through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is unique and it is different because this is a different movie, different fans, different people. But at the same time, like, I have seen this... And so it's interesting to, I guess, revisit it,
mm-hmm.
you know, being a little older now, yeah, revisit it and watch everyone else go through it, which is cool too.
Yeah.
It's just kind of fun, you know.
It is. Well, I think you're a really grounding force in that group. And I'm from a purely selfish perspective, you know, as the mother of one of your co-stars, I'm really glad you're part of it.
Yeah, no, I do feel like. Like, my character in the second movie is definitely kind of a reflection of myself. Like,
yeah, like, there's so much like boo-boo energy in Jay, especially the second time
in the
around.
Second movie, I was thinking about it like, yeah, that's getting closer, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Descendants 2 for a minute since we're there. Anything you want to share about that experience?
Oh, Descendants 2 is really difficult. I found that to be a very hard movie to film.
Yeah.
I don't know, that year was an interesting year. I was working consistent, but not very, like, happy with what I was doing.
Mm.
Not in the, you know, not that I wasn't grateful for all the work and everything, but I was just overthinking everything. I slip into overthinking really easily. Overthinking and trying to, like, make it perfect, you know, what I think is perfect. So I was doing a lot of that in that year. And so it made things very difficult for me just to enjoy them because I was so in my head.
Right.
But, so I was doing a lot of that, and I wasn't very happy with, like, I was, you know, kept thinking I wasn't doing well. There was a movie I had done earlier in the year that I did that with, and I was having, you know, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, like, in, like, a night, like, panic attacks and anxiety and things
no.
like that. And the movie's great. Like, that ended up being fantastic. I was like, this is awesome, you know? That was only in one film. Then it got really great. I did a fantastic movie that I loved and had an amazing time on. But then I did a movie, then Descendants, and on those last two for the year, I just was feeling all weird again and, like, got all in my head. And so Descendants 2 is, like, odd to make, but at the same time, incredible. Tony, the dance choreographer, yeah, I mean, really great friend. Like, Cole, he directed, like, the behind-the-scenes... like DVD stuff and things like that for Descendants 2 after the filming. He's now a great friend of mine. So I made a lot of cool friends, and Jack, our prop guy, he's awesome. But straight filming wise, it was more difficult, I think, because I was more in my head.
That's interesting.
Yeah, which is, and you know, the way the movie turned out, totally happy. It's great. Like, I'm totally happy. But it just goes to show you that you're not, when you're in the moment, you're not always right. And you're just like, you think it's one thing completely this way and it's not. And, you know, I don't know, like, it was an interesting time. And it's so dark in Vancouver. I felt that when we shot the first movie, we shot it during, May or something.
Yeah, Yeah.
May started, or March or...
It was like, it started in May. It was like May, June, and it went into July.
Yeah, so that, I feel like I like shooting in Vancouver during that time because it's sunny.
Mm-hmm.
I felt when we were shooting in the fall in Vancouver for Descendants 2, it was really hot. Like, I was very tired.
It was dark.
Yeah.
It was dark a lot.
It was very, I was very tired. I would wake up and it'd be like a... I wake up early. Like, I wake up, I mean, this might not be early to some people, but, you know, 7:30 I was up today, right? You know? I'd be in Vancouver and I'd wake up at, like, 10 o'clock, and I'd still be tired, and it'd be dark out, and, like, I don't know. It was just interesting. It made it hard to do such a chipper, upbeat film,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it's so gloomy outside.
It's funny, though. This stuff affects people, and it's very real. Well, so as somebody who, you know, is clearly working on the overthinking thing,
yeah.
What are some of your, what are some of your tools for dealing with that?
Yeah.
How do you get out of your head?
It's so, so, so hard. I do this meditation called Headspace. It's an app on your phone.
Okay. Headspace. It's this fantastic. Is an app. Okay. Yeah.
I do it every day. I try and do it every day. They have options. I just do it for 10 minutes. And they have all these different packs. Like right now I'm doing the prioritization pack. It's great. Learning how to prioritize my life.
Cool.
Or not my life, but things that I want to do.
Yeah, I love tools.
And doing
tools.
Things that like I want to get done.
Yeah.
And not just doing things because I think I have to do them. You know, it's really great. I love it. It weeds out like what's actually important. You know what I mean?
That's good.
But so Headspace is one of those things. Actually, I did like a writing piece on overthinking. It's called Threads, that I really like. And I keep telling myself, like, whenever you get in the spot, you know, go back and read that. Because it's nice. Like, I wrote it, and so it really gets my feelings out. So when I read it, it gives me that same kind of vibe again. So I feel like if you write something down, and actually writing things down is one of those things.
I was going to say, that's something that I've yeah. always used, and yeah. I go back to writing over yep. and over again, because it like, I feel like it takes the crazy swirling thoughts mm-hmm. out of my head, onto the paper, gets them out of my head that way,
yeah.
and in having to get them into words and write them down, it, like, clarifies things.
Yeah, and then some, I feel like when I read it, I'm like, that was dumb. Like, literally, those are my thoughts. I'm like, really? That's what you were like, really? Like,
you were stressing about that.
The whole day. Like,
so do you journal or do you just like write randomly?
Yeah,
or?
So that's another thing. It's mainly, I would have to say, Headspace. And I was reading this one book called The Artist's Way.
I love that book.
You know?
Yes, The Artist's Way, yeah, Julia Cameron.
I literally have only read the first, like, 20 pages, but maybe, like, but within those first few pages, she does something called the morning pages, you know, and so that's what I've been doing, too. I've been trying. I've been failing very hard on them, but I've been trying to do, like, at least one page a day. I was doing really great, like, 3 pages a day, but, you know.
Hot tip, if you use small pages, like, in a...
There it is.
Skin journal.
Small page. Yeah, I'm writing a full-size, like... Full-size journal over here, trying to get 3 pages out. But, yeah, I think that's incredible, honestly. It really, really, really is incredible. It really puts you in a present place because you're thinking about your... I like to write about, like, how I feel, like, mm-hmm. like how my body feels, how my mind feels, my head feels, you know, or if something were to happen right there, you know, write it down, write what I see. So it puts you in a present place. And, yeah, I find that, you know, I'll write something down that I've been stressing about or something that I've been, like, thinking about over and over again. And honestly, most of the time when I write it down and I read it back, I'm like, really? That was that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That was an hour of your day or more? This one sentence? Wow. Get yeah. over it, you know?
Yeah, it's I think writing is a really powerful tool.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so Headspace app, Artist's Way,
yeah.
journaling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel really fortunate to know you a little bit, like, as a person, and, you know, because we've had a chance to spend some time together with all the different projects.
Yeah, yeah.
And you really, really are one of the most grounded, thoughtful people I know in the industry, and honestly, just in life. And that's always impressive to me at any age, but, you know, you're young, and to have those skills and that, that way of being in the world is extra impressive. And so I just want to share with you, I'm working on a kind of, like, working theory about about that there may be some consistent factors that help kids, who then, of course, ultimately become young adults like yourself, stay grounded, stay clear, stay, you know, in one piece in the world, maybe specifically in the industry. The industry can be extra crazy, but let's face it, you know, the world's pretty crazy these days. And some of these skills we learn from parents, and some we learn from other sources. But I would love to just explore this a little bit with you.
Yeah. No, I... What keeps people grounded?
Well, like, for example, I think that the quality of resilience is a big one, you know? And when I think about resilience, I think, okay, so resilience to me means the ability to bounce back from adversity, to maybe even thrive in the face of curveballs and things not necessarily going smoothly, but to not like go down and crash and burn when things don't go well. Any thoughts around resiliency or resilience in terms of your life and how that, what that might mean for your life?
I mean, especially someone who's trying to do anything artistic or in the like business. I would have, or really anyone trying to achieve a goal, you know, people put you down, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
life
are you
doesn't
be stopped?
Always go in your way, in your favor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's part of, that's the makeup of who you are. So I think, yeah, resilience is part of the makeup of who you are, or being able to capture that and use it makes you into the person you are to be. I feel like, so many times, like even in my art recently, you know, I'll draw something, then I'll show, like, my family or something. I can tell, like, if they don't like it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can tell. And, you know, I've drawn this thing, like, 100 times, and I've worked on it for such a long amount of time. And then I see, you know, the other day, you know, Feifel saw something that looked kind of strange in the photo. And I was like, I kind of was like, what? Like, it kind of made me a little mad. I was like, that's not that. Like, this, I've worked really hard on this. Like, in my head, I'm thinking, like, how could you see that? And, like, you know, something that I've worked so hard on, just discard it, right? Not in a bad way or anything.
Yeah.
But just, you know, when you work really hard on something, any little bit throws you off to, like, the complete opposite emotion, right? And, but it's the resilience and finding it, seeing it, being able to fix it, or thinking, like, no, that makes it unique, I'm going to go with it. But it's the resilience in that, like, being able to take it, learn from it, and move forward, turn it into something, and make that, because of that, you've become now stronger. And I think that's something we all, anyone, you know, I don't know if you ever fully master that. I think that's part of having resilience, is because you didn't master it, you know, and you're getting, you have the feeling in the first place, and now you have to take that, turn it into something, boom. I don't know. That's an interesting, I like that though. I feel like for me growing up, I mean, acting, you get said no to constantly, you know, all the time. You know, you thought you were going to get a part, you went in, you thought you did a great job, best audition ever. Nope.
Oh, not you.
That's not it. Okay. Okay. But you know, you take that, you learn from it, and you move forward, and that is the building blocks of your personality and your backbone, you know?
That's,
makes you strong.
That's a big one, yeah. Do you feel like you learned some of this from your parents, or, like, where did you pick these skills up?
Yes, but I think, definitely, of course, you know, growing up, you know, that's why I'm so fortunate to be born where I was born, because, you know, into the family that I was born into, growing up, you know, you're around a certain someone or people, and it's their opinions, their things like that, that either make you say, oh, I don't like that, I'm going to do the complete opposite, or it makes you say, I like that. That's what I think, too.
Yeah.
So
either way.
Exactly. So I feel like I kind of lost track here.
No, it's okay. I was asking if your parents, like, you know, influence in that regard.
Yeah, you know, I think parents definitely do. You know, anyone that you surround yourself with, that's why it's so important to surround yourself with good people, good friends, because they play a factor in that same building blocks of your life, of your personality, of, you know, creating who you are, you know. So I think it definitely plays a big part. You know, your parents, of course, whether you like it or you don't.
Yeah,
you know, they will influence you one way or the other. So, yes, parents 100% almost have all the power in that sense. You know what I mean?
Although, once you start to get a little older and you're, like, school age.
Then you just, yeah.
Peers can be incredibly influential, which is why it's really important to be mindful of who you surround yourself with. Because that's something you have a choice around.
Yeah, that's interesting. You get to choose those people.
As opposed to family.
Yeah, so that's why it's so important also to choose people who don't always agree with you.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like so many people, they're just like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're so right. Oh, you're right. No, they're wrong. Yeah, you're right. But it's like, what if you're wrong?
Yeah. Do you have someone who's going to keep you straight?
Oh, yeah, I do. I don't, my buddy, one of my really good buddies, his name's Contrell. He actually, when we were doing Descendants, the first movie, I hadn't danced in a very long time, and I asked him to help me dance again. He was teaching me. But he'll tell me, he's like, yeah, I didn't really like that movie. Like, the movie that I was in. Like, I didn't really, it was kind of slower. I didn't know where it was going. He's like, yep, cool, like, thanks. Like, but seriously, thank you, for not telling me that it was great when it actually wasn't. Like, you know, he'll give it to me straight. And I like that. My sister's like that, too. Pretty honest. But it's good. You know, honesty is a good thing. Sometimes it's not what you want to hear.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great thing, yeah.
Well, that actually takes me into the next question, which is around integrity. Like, you're somebody who clearly has a very, very strong place of integrity that you come from. And I have found, like, in life in general, that integrity has just got to be one of the building blocks for a successful life. You cannot have a successful life, in my eyes, without it. And I also have found that the majority of the people in this industry, if they make it pretty high, you know, if they climb the food chain pretty high, by and large, and we can quickly think of a lot of, okay, some exceptions to this, they have a really strong sense of integrity. It's like that seems to be something that you just cannot really go very far without. What are your thoughts around integrity in terms of, like, how important it's been for your life and your success?
I think integrity nowadays is even more important than it was, you know, but when I wasn't even alive. Mm-hmm. Because everybody knows your business.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it definitely, so many people will do so much more just to become famous, which is not good. You know what I mean? And I think, yeah, so on online, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could be like, this is for guys and girls, but say if, you know, you're starting your Instagram account or whatever, and you're just posting a whole bunch of, like, either, like, shirtless pictures or bikini photos or things like that. And, you know, literally, to me, that's a shot at your integrity. unless that's really what you want to do. Like, but so many people will just do things like that just to get the, just to get their numbers up or just to get more followers, just to have people notice them or to have people, like, oh, you look great, or to, you know, because they need it for themselves, you know. But I think if you have enough integrity, you have enough, like, you really believe who you are and what you stand for, I don't think you need to do that. You can do that if that's really, really what you're going for. But I think feel like nowadays with everybody knowing your business, things like that, it's important to have a really strong strong foundation of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it can so easily be taken away from you. Without even knowing, because you get caught up in it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's dangerous. And I feel like a lot of young people get caught up in that. I probably do too. I don't know.
And as you point out, because things are so transparent and so public now with social media and how incredibly connected we actually all are with each other.
Oh yeah.
Missteps are harder to recover from.
Yeah, they are. Once it's out there, it's out there. Mm-hmm. That's very important to know too.
Forever.
Yeah, the internet. It's dangerous.
Yeah, so be mindful. Yeah, think twice before posting stuff.
Yeah.
But just like simple stuff like keeping your word, doing what you say you're going to do. Like there's even that, like what you were starting to talk about at the very beginning of our conversation with, like, you like to encourage your friends and people that you care about
to follow through,
to not just sit on the couch all day and say, oh, I wish I could do this, I wish I had that. Yeah, it's like, well, so let's make it happen, right?
Yeah. I feel like so many people, especially out here, everyone has an idea to do something. You know, and ideas are incredible. It's what, you know, gets the fire going. But if you don't follow through with it, then it's just an idea.
Yeah, it's just noise.
And a lot of people have great ideas, you know. But it's the people who go out and finish it. Those are the people you hear about, right?
Yeah.
Those are people who inspire future people to do it, too. And, I feel like that's a really big thing, too, with, you know, with this... I don't know if it's always been like that, or if it's just this generation. I have no idea. But saying you'll be somewhere, saying you'll do something, and actually doing it. So it's that whole point of actually doing it. For me, that's something I've been working on last year and carrying on through, hopefully, for the rest of my life. I started mountaineering, you know. I climbed Mount Shasta, a few peaks out here in Southern California, and I just got back from Mexico in January 6th, I got back.
Wow.
I was there for 9 days climbing. We climbed 3 volcanoes. But it's, to me, that's part of the journey of all that, and part of the reason why I go out and do big trips like this and try and, like, push it. It's because I have an idea and I want to do something and I do it.
Yeah.
Like, and when I complete that mountain, like, boom, like, I did it. We were over 18,000 feet on the last one.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It was intense. But it's the whole thing of, you know, I had this idea. I had done Mount Shasta. The guide told me about a Mexico trip. I was like, I want to do this trip. And I kept following through. That initial trip ended up not happening. And then I found another company. But, you know, I did it. Went to Mexico by myself. You know, I met up with people I had never met before. And we, like, climbed these volcanoes. But it's having an idea, following through with it, and completing it.
I think there's something really critical to this. And I'm so happy that you're drilling down on this. Because I think one of the things, and this is subtle, but I think it's really important, that happens when you keep your word...
Mm-hmm.
To yourself,
not
even necessarily to somebody else, but when you keep your word to yourself, when you do follow through on a dream or on a wish or on a goal, you're telling yourself that you're trustworthy.
Interesting. You know? I like that.
It's like you're communicating to yourself and to your soul and your spirit, like, I am trustworthy. I do what I say I'm going to do. And there's something about that that I think is really important.
Yes. To me, that's one of the most important things just as a person. Like, I want, you know, like, my dad's like that. He's extremely, if he says he's going to do it, he'll do it. And if I'm ever stuck in a situation I need help, he would be there. Like, literally, that is such a great trait in a human.
Yeah.
Like, there's, anybody.
There's a kind of confidence
that
I think that comes from that.
Mm.
When you know in your bones that you can rely on yourself because you are reliable and trustworthy, and that's all about integrity. And then when you feel that way about another person.
Mm.
Yeah, but so it sounds like your dad was a role model for that and for you.
Definitely. I do really, really like the way he sticks to his word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, that's like a very classy, old school.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sad that I think of it as being an old school trait. Because it should not be an old school trait. It should just be a trait.
Yeah, a favorite trait among all humans.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's something I'm trying to do more of. It just goes back to, like, being on time, you know, doing what you say you're going to do, you know, if you say you're going to be there,
Yeah.
Like, there's no loophole in any of those words. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is.
Who would you call in the zombie apocalypse?
Yeah, I would call my dad. Like, literally, that's the person I'd call. And I know a lot of people who would also call him. Because they all know. You know? I don't know. I feel like doing what you say you're going to do, just do it for yourself, like, if anything. You know what I mean?
That's really, really true.
Yeah, and so it just goes back to the whole thing of having an idea and just doing it. Like, who's stopping you? Like, I told someone that the other day. They had an idea, and I was like, so why aren't you doing it? Like, I was like, who's stopping you? Like, you could do that now. My buddy about traveling. Fortunately enough, he is very successful. Does his own time. Like, literally, it's his own time. Like, he doesn't have to be there for anyone else. He's his own boss completely. And he was talking about going to some other country, and I was like, you could literally book a flight right now and leave.
Like, yeah, there is nothing stopping you.
Actually, there's nothing stopping you.
But you.
Yeah, literally, that's it. Yeah. And we all know that, you know, deep down inside. But it's hard to do, you know, doing things for yourself without feeling guilty. That's something. But you know, we all need that. And it's nice to prove to yourself that you can do something for yourself, and you can do it. And you just, the hardest part is just making that first step. Once you make the first step, the ball gets rolling. You know?
I agree.
Same thing with art and writing, you know. Literally the hardest part is creating time to sit there with your paper.
Yeah.
Or like photography. I always think, when I first started getting into photography, the hardest part was literally remembering to bring my camera. I'm not even joking. If I had my camera with me, I was going to be taking photos.
Interesting.
But the hardest part was leaving the house, being in the car. Dang it, I forgot the camera. Nah, it's like, yeah, I'll just get it next time. You know, I don't feel like walking back in the house. So.
Crazy.
So it's little things, you know, but once you just make that step, everything usually, it gets the ball rolling. I mean, that's a saying for a reason.
Yeah.
Because once you do the first little thing, it gets you going.
Yeah. 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 Momentum is real, and momentum is definitely our friend.
Yeah.
I was thinking about mindset too, and I was thinking about something we talked about, last time we were on the podcast together, and you were talking about the importance of training and how important training is to you in terms of just like your career for sure, but like also as a practice, as a human. There's a kind of mythology out there, I think, that successful people are successful because of gifts that they were born with. Inherent, inborn talent.
Right.
That, you know, as long as nothing terrible gets in the way of it, they're probably going to succeed, you know? Yeah. And I've really come to think that it's not like that at all. I've really come to think that, you know, yeah, okay, we are definitely born with different strengths. There's no question.
People are different strengths.
We totally do have different strengths, and we develop them or we don't.
Yeah, I agree.
Whatever. But ultimately, the more I look, the more I feel like the people who really succeed, they succeed mostly because they just didn't give up, and they worked at it, and they developed those maybe skills, or if the skills weren't there and they wanted it, they developed them anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it has, I think, more to do, success, with action.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's both, too.
Yeah.
You know, you know, it's hard to explain, because for each, like, I always say that I think you could take someone who's never acted before in their entire life, but if they have an open mind and a good director, they could do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think it's both. And I also think people that are born with it literally can, you know, some people literally are just naturally incredible. You know what I mean? And that's that. No one touch them because they're great. You know, just let them do their thing. You know, but I don't know. So I think it's a given. I think it's both. Mm-hmm. I do think someone, you know, if you want to do something, and if you train hard enough, you work hard enough, hard work will surpass natural talent. Because if that person with natural talent is just sitting on their butt saying, like, I got it, I'm good, you know, and, you know, here's the audition, I haven't done anything, but I'm just going to step in there and kill it. Yes, they will be good, but if you've been practicing and you've been honing this in, doing research, I think you've created so much more of a stronger core that'll sit that'll resonate, like, deeper within, like, I don't know. So I think it's both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think you can, I mean, yes, you can have natural talent and just get by, but then you're just getting by. Is that really what you want to do? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you don't train, if you don't work at it, I do think someone who didn't have that natural talent will surpass you eventually, because they are still training and having an, it's not just the training, it's having the open mind to be able to say, I need to train, because that's such a dig at our pride, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, saying mm-hmm. you're not good at something yet, or you could be better, you know, that's such a dig at your pride. And I feel like, to me, that is such, being able to dig at your own pride and to be able to tear it apart, I think is awesome. I think it's great. There's something really strong within that. When someone thinks too highly of themselves, they think that they just got it, you know.
Well, it's an important part of a spiritual practice in a way to mm-hmm. be, you know, mindful that, you know,
yeah.
you can and probably should always be working at improving.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't just sit back and think things are just going to magically happen, right?
Yeah.
But people do think that, which is the thing.
They do. It's really funny. I mean, it's like these, I think the idea that we have these skills or we don't, or we have these traits or we don't, like, you're intelligent or you're not, or
right.
you're, you know, talented at something or you're mm. not. And then if you're successful, you're like, oh, that means I'm, you know, and you validate it.
Yeah.
But if you fail, then it's like, oh, well, then maybe I'm not intelligent, or maybe I'm not,
right.
you know, a good artist or whatever. It's like, nah, you know, you just need to keep working at it. Maybe it's like you have a lot to do with your success.
I think so.
Yeah.
And it's comparing yourself to other people is probably the biggest mistake, I think. I mean, it's fun to do it in a lighthearted way, but when you're really, really thinking, like, oh, he did that at that age, like, dang it, I'm this age, like, or, like, I need to do that by that age, or that's not going to happen, yeah, I think that's such a hard way to look at life and to view your life, too. I feel like that could really hold you back. So it's really about having an open mind. I feel like, more so than anything, an open mind to just, like, be a sponge and to, like, like Kenny, that's one of the great things about Kenny, is I think his mind is so open, and he really is a sponge, and he's always learning. That's why he is the person who he is, and when I'm around him, I try and, like, see that, because, like, I've been trying to do one thing where I'll listen to other people talk, because what they're saying is unique, even if it's something I don't really care about, you know, like, not in a mean way, but it's just unique. And to be a sponge like that, to have an open mind and to listen to someone, like, what they're saying now, they're never going to say again in this certain way. That's unique. Really listen to people. And that's what Kenny does. He listens and he really sees you for, he sees the potential of what could be, and, like, really helps you blossom that, I think. And so I think having an open mind is part of that training thing. It's having an open mind to want to train and to know that you could train and get better, and to go to a teacher of whatever sort, and know that this person could help you. You know what I mean? And not being like, I could do it better than him.
You know? Right. Talk about a way to just shut it down.
Yeah. Like, nah, that's not right. I wouldn't do it like that. It's like, but now, you know, you wouldn't do it like that. You know,
that actually is valuable too.
So it's interesting. I feel like, hard work, training stems from an open mind.
Yeah.
To a certain degree. Cause you have to be honest and truthful with yourself to want to train, you know, and to not think that you could just do it yourself.
At anything. And your training, your personal training in your life at this point already has spanned a whole bunch of different disciplines.
Yeah. And I'm training all the time. I'm always training to, I don't know. I just enjoy training. Like,
yeah.
it's a, you know, I'm not a crazy gym guy, you know, as funny as I would see, I mean, you see this end or something like that. And, like, I don't really like the gym. Like, honestly,
like, you like the results of the gym.
Well, it depends. I literally just go to the gym for whichever part that I'm playing. like for Descendants, it's a completely different workout than what I do normally. Yeah, I'm more of, like, I love training in, like, a craft, like Muay Thai, kickboxing. I get trained in that. Heiwan no Kitsune. It's an offshoot of Hawaiian Kenpo. Training that. Like, I will go... You know, I love running. You know, I'm trying to do a marathon. That's my goal this year, is to do a few marathons. There's actually a run at the Grand Canyon where you can run the rim of the Grand Canyon. I would like to do that.
Wow.
20-something miles.
Whoa. What time of year?
Oh, you would have to go, like, in April or something.
Yeah, before it gets crazy.
Before it's hot, you know, before, after it's super cold, kind of a deal. But I don't know. I do like training. I get something out of it. It makes me feel like... It makes me just feel... Not that I've moved forward in my life, but it... You know, when you do something for yourself, that just feels good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And there's something to say about that when you put yourself in a class because you want to learn something new.
Yeah.
Like, that's an open mind. That's cool. And I respect people for doing that. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, you were training as a dancer when you were just a kid.
Dancing, yeah.
You were a black belt when you were a kid?
Never got my black belt, actually. No? I'm training for it still.
Really?
I'm still training for it.
Oh my gosh, still, I got that wrong.
Still training for it.
Okay, on the path.
It's been a long journey. With breaks. A long years of breaks, but, you know, still training for it. Hopefully this year.
That's so great. But that stuff, it pays off. And, you know, if you're going to be an actor, yeah, it's totally great to have all these different skill sets because it can help you get cast.
Yep.
But if you're just going to be a human being, it's like, it makes life better.
No, I think just, yeah, what even just in life, like, I love seeing people try new things. I think that's awesome. That's one of my things for this year is, like, literally try new things. Don't be, you know, don't be a crab about things. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't do that. Well, why won't you try that? Because I don't like it. What do you mean you don't like it? Have you had it? No, but I've had this, which is kind of like that. So I know I wouldn't like it. You know, that's so weird. Like, so I'm just over that. And when I was in Mexico, I ate crickets.
How were they?
On a tortilla. It was not something I would normally eat on a daily basis, but...
But you did it.
But I did it. And I had like two tortilla fulls, like, of crickets. You know, I don't know. I just, you know, not saying you got to go eat crazy things, but... Just try things, you know, if it, you know, I'm my own worst enemy with that stuff, and so it's, but having an open mind, trying things is a way of training.
Shonda Rhimes,
you know, wrote, I don't know,
a book that I read recently called either The Year of Yes or The Year of Saying Yes or something like this. It was fantastic.
But it's such a great thing. Why would you want to limit yourself from experiences? And I'm such a hypocrite when I say that, because there's certain things I definitely will not do.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, but at the same time, there's so much more that I could be doing.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? It's okay to draw boundaries. Boundaries are all right.
Yeah.
This concludes part one of my conversation with Boo Boo Stewart. Join us next week for part two. Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoy this podcast, subscribe. Go to BonnieJWallace.com and sign up on the podcast page to get exclusive, inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. If you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And for one-on-one coaching that can save you literally thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, book an hour consultation with me over Skype or in LA. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. For about the same price of an hour with an acting coach, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Thanks. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.